collective bargaining, February 10th, 2016.
Well, here we are.
Looks like you've got some stuff there.
Yep, we've got 2 out of the 4 articles.
Okay.
And then what I thought maybe we could do is talk about maybe scheduling the subsequent meetings by topic, because that seemed to work pretty well.
Okay.
And we've got a few items on 24 and 8 that,
yeah.
Well, and even on 23 that we probably need to talk about again.
Yeah.
And so.
Good.
That sound reasonable?
It sounds very reasonable.
Okay, cool. All right, well, Article 3, our proposal is really simple because it's just status quo.
Okay.
Mason's probably got it there. Do you need a copy, Dan? You've got your book.
Yeah, but it's just status quo.
Yeah. Yeah, my printer's on its last legs.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about the status quo Article 3?
Not now, no.
No? Okay.
So there's basically nothing to talk about with this one, right? So it's.
Well, it's status quo, yeah.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. Okay, and then we've got a proposal for Article 23. Legislature is still in session, but we can at least get started.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of red, but it's not as bad as it looks.
Sorry.
Do
you write
on me?
I think so.
It's dark enough. You wouldn't see.
Is that actually something, or is that a comment?
No, that's a reminder to me to ask about that one. Because if you put a comment in, then it squeezes all the type in and makes it hard. So, yeah, please remind us to come back.
Okay.
Okay, so in 23.1, we're just suggesting a slight wording change. In 23.3, just because the legislature is still in session, putting our standard language in there. In 23.4, the salary proposal is for a total of 3.5%. Split equally between the across the board and merit, so in 23.4A and C. And then the most of the rest of the red in there is just changing the dates. Under 23.4B, the equity increases, these are intended to assist our members of the bargaining unit who are at really the low end of the salary pay scale. So we've got a fair number of members whose salary is, well, we have one whose salary is just barely above the poverty line for 2 adults and 2 children. It's actually below $30,000 on a 12-month contract, at least according to the spreadsheet we got.
Say it again.
We have one member of our bargaining unit who's got a 12-month contract who's below 30. She's actually...
On one full FTE.
And one full FTE at just over 25. No, not visiting. And we have a whole bunch of folks who are below the beginning teacher salary for kindergarten teachers at Orange County Public Schools. And so what we're proposing here is a 0.20%, so 1/5 of 1%
okay.
of the total base. To try to bring those folks up to basically where the Orange County public teachers are. We thought that was a reasonable equity adjustment to make there. And then the language implementing that is just, I think I drew it from maybe the 2010 contract. We sort of had targets and we look at how much money we have available and then people get adjusted up so that we're not changing the rank order, but moving people up as the funding allows.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, any questions on those parts before we go to the next page?
I don't.
Okay. So on the next page, we've got the famous parity clause. And Sherry's being polite by only chuckling lightly. But I'm a scientist, we need replication. Then under the incentive awards, there's a change from faculty to employee. And I noticed as I searched the whole entire contract, there were some other articles that weren't open where we still had that, that one. Change of the date. And then we wanted to explore with you the possibility of implementing some new criteria and procedures for the awards, so basically improving the process. It seems like this might be a logical time to do it rather than waiting for another full book. But we probably should grandfather any changes in for a while, so we're not changing rules in midstream on people who are really close to submitting their files, thinking that here were the existing criteria. But we weren't sure exactly if we could push that over into the next contract. And so that's why that may be implemented after that date language is in there. And that's just a suggestion maybe on how to proceed forward with that. I know on our end, we just opened up this idea just to the UFF council, the local council, and boy, we heard an earful about things that we could help in terms of streamlining the process. And I know that with the TIP awards especially, I've been told, and I know from putting together my old folder, that it's more work to do that than it is for a TMP folder. And that's, I mean, that's institutionally.
In some college, I think it's true. I don't know that it is. Yeah, it's in CA, I think particularly it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad in COS.
Yeah. Engineering, I think it's like a one page. Yeah.
Yeah, and RIAs are usually fairly small. I don't know about CAH. Are your RIAs pretty small? Yeah.
I would not.
It's lengthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so even just from an institutional standpoint, it's not good to have faculty spending a week on just putting that together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually suggest maybe we can tackle that the next time, if you're amenable to that. And we can send you, I think, some suggested language ahead of time so you have a chance to look it over.
And we have some ideas about some things that the provost is interested in doing with the incentive awards, the TIPS, RIAs, and SOTLs.
Oh, okay.
Are you, if I'm reading this right, you are eliminating, you're taking out SOTL, sorta. I mean, well, but you're saying that... it's not going to be its own separate category, but one quarter of the RIAs, so it'd be 40 RIAs, which, and then 10 of those would be designated as SOTLs for SOTLs.
Right. So
essentially.
So it's the same number of SOTLs, but the rationale for doing that is that in looking at this, and then especially when we started to look at the excellence awards down below, the triad for academia is teaching, research, and service.
Mm-hmm.
And service is kind of missing from the awards, and it's a big part of our institutional goals and our really our persona is being good partners and seeking out partnerships and stuff. The other reason for doing that is we've been hearing a lot from members of our bargaining unit that their job doesn't really use the word enable, that's the right word.
Encourage
or facilitate them applying for TIPS and RIAs, and even in SOTLs, it's sort of a strange fit. But they would qualify pretty easily, I think almost everybody would, for service and partnership type things. And we have some members that, when you think about what they've been doing, editors of journals for decades and things like that, and some people who are really prominent nationally and even internationally doing service sorts of things with governmental agencies and things, they really deserve to be recognized. So the movement of SOTL was more to just keep that triad.
Mm-hmm.
And so to recognize service, that keeps the three. And then SOTL really is something that scholarship and research is together. more of a messaging sort of idea than anything that's hard and fast. I mean, if you thought it was better to, you know, if you like the idea of the service, you want to add that in, and you want to keep SOLA the way it is, we're fine with that. We're just kind of.
I was like, that's interesting. Okay.
And then on the excellence awards, the one down at the very bottom of page 2 that's been read there, the excellence and distributed learning award, that was something that CDL folks had actually asked us about before, mm-hmm. more in the context of the incentive awards, but especially in working with Kathy Ann and Bill and some other people over in CDL, it really became apparent how important they are and their contribution to the university. And so that's something that I think would be really useful to recognize folks over there. You know, sort of the same way we recognize the librarians for their unique contributions.
Okay.
ADI is in there as a matter of course. The bottom of page 3, just one grammatical change. And I believe that's it. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it should be aligned with the contract length, right? That's how we had it?
That's how we had it.
Okay.
Okay. I have no questions about this proposal. Does anybody have any questions or anything? Any comments?
It's interesting. Well, we don't necessarily need to. I mean, it's an interesting proposal. I mean, you know, obviously we will need to see how the powers
right.
that be feel
yeah.
about
yeah.
it. You know.
Yeah.
Well, it really struck us as we started to think about, you know, the Tipperary and SOTL and the incentive awards and started talking about, well, it looks like this may be the right time to try to implement some criteria and procedures that everybody feels is fair and they're operational and they're not
mm-hmm.
burdensome, you know, that then we started to recognize, wait a minute, we're not recognizing service, and that's on almost everybody's contracts.
I'm losing my voice. For Tips and Rias, their timeline is aligned. Do they start around December to receive
For Tips, at least, we're getting notifications about who's qualifying late January, then you can just very soon.
For who's
right
able
now.
To apply?
Yeah.
When, are you okay, so when is the application process? Oh, you would know maybe. When does
I
the application
the
process start for TIPS?
It's starting now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're notifying
okay.
the people who are
and
who,
so,
who are able to apply.
And then it's complete by May.
No, sooner.
Sooner than that?
It's usually, I think last year, you would have been notified. CH is a weird rule where you can collect your binder 30 days after everything's done.
Yes, right.
And I remember that was under me before I collected my binder.
Okay.
I was disqualified on the technicality again.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay, so we probably should talk about that
another time. This is how I know this.
So what I'm getting is that the TIP process takes place essentially during the spring and it's all completed and done. What about RIAs? What's their cycle?
We just finished RIAs and COS.
They would have just been notified.
So they
yeah.
start November-ish?
Yeah, I would say
yeah.
end of October.
So it runs from
yeah.
late fall into early spring. So when I was looking at WEBAC and you for in that 23.5 at the very end, is this through August 7, 2018? So
I'm sorry, Charlie. Oh, okay, I see. Okay, I see you.
No, that's okay. I don't think that will help, but what I was wondering is I think the intent there is to make sure that you don't change it up on people. So that they don't get surprised. I'm about to turn in my binder, bam,
right.
but that messes things up.
Yeah.
So maybe if we can work together to craft language with you open to the concept of that as soon as the awards are done for that year, that's when the new criteria would be. Within 1 month of that, that's when the criteria would be published. Does that make sense for the next round?
Well, I mean, there's no harm in publishing the ability of that.
For the
two,
next
two
time.
2 years from now.
Right. That's
this
what I mean, is like, establish what kind of timeline on what we can do to change the criteria. We've been fixed forever, and it's been horrible because there's been no innovation. It's possible that some college could come up with something really brilliant that we could, you know, do like a.
Wasn't there a university committee looking at all this, supposed to be coming back with results? Did that happen?
Along the train of thought that I was saying, as long as you're open to that kind of discussion, I really think that that could be helpful, rather than trying to set a hard date, you know, something that, or setting a hard date, but that everybody knows, and it doesn't catch any of your faculty by surprise, that they all know what they're leading to.
Right.
Like you said, okay, a year, 2 years, whatever it is. So it allows for innovation, but not abrupt innovation that would interrupt people's progress.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what we're after. So.
Right.
For us, the concept, that's exactly the concept we're after.
That's the concept you're after.
And how we implement it language-wise, it's.
Yeah.
Whatever we come up with, it's best.
All right, and then I didn't look at this closely, the retroactivity language for, it's in 23.5.
Yeah.
So you understand that retroactivity is not something everyone's fond of.
Right, I know it. And we almost made an attempt at that, and then we thought, let's just leave it alone for now. If it comes up at the table, we'll fix it then.
So let me just put it out there that I don't mind the $5,000 check being awarded when you get the award, but retroactivity is not something that if you can understand what causes huge problems, and not just people's insurances. People want to know if you're going to recalculate the merit pool, because now last year I'm making more money than I was. No, where does this end? And retroactivity starts all these spinning, and it gets people upset, more upset than it does when it helps them.
Yep.
So.
Nope. I mean, the way that we did it with the raise package this year makes absolute sense to us. We heard relatively few complaints. I mean, we had, there was some, you know, the usual confusion about how is this getting implemented and when.
Right, and how much is my raise,
yeah,
and why isn't it loaded into the system.
Yeah,
yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
But the concept seemed to work just fine.
Okay.
So that's
it's
perfect
good to hear
us.
That you're willing to move in that direction, because I think HR would be very, very grateful if we can move in that direction. That would be the last element in the CBA that would, where retroactivity would be removed.
It's in 23.5.
In the middle.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, the only issue I can think of is that for people who are going out for tenure and promotion, there's a 9% of your existing salary. And as long as retroactive doesn't sort of screw them out of.
It all happens on August 8th, and they do it to the advantage of the employee. As far as I know, they do TIP and RIA first, and then you put the 9% on top of that. Almost, I mean, every time that I can think of where we have a toss-up about what do you do first, because you can't do half of one and then do something else. You have to do it the same for everyone. And so my understanding is every time they have a choice, they try to do it in the way that benefits the employee.
So the retroactive would be putting it back to the same point. We have the choice as opposed to sometimes.
Well, it would be just like tenure and promotion, is that you would receive the TIP or RIA award that would start the following August 8th, promotion. And since that seems to work fairly seamlessly, that's how it works, rather than trying to retroactive it. And it's, we're talking, you know, hundreds of people where you're having to key in individually, and it's painful.
Yeah.
And it causes problems.
No, if we can do the lump sum and then do the, then start it up at the next, that makes perfect sense.
Thank you for indulging me with those personal pet peeves.
All very important.
Now, if we can get the system to work better, you know, and
be nice
function better for everybody, those are win-wins. Let's do it.
It would be nice if the system wasn't that difficult to program and had to hand code everything, but that's not your.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's above all of our pay grades.
That's the bane of everyone's existence.
It's very difficult to do anything else.
You guys want to break for just 10 minutes?
Yeah.
We'll be gone long.
Okay.
Before we go, John, did you have a thought about how you wanted to dedicate the future dates? I mean, you said you were thinking about a way in which we would commit to a subject in advance.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe the next one, just because we'd introduced 23 and the concepts of the service award and open the discussion about changing our criterion. Our minds are sort of on that. Why don't we use that the next time?
Okay.
And then after that, just kind of go in order, do 8 and do 23.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, let's step back. We're going to step next time. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back.
And we can go off the.
So we're going
to
talk about.
All right, John, thank you for allowing us to have that caucus. And we appreciate what you put on the table today. And we'll take it back and give it serious consideration. One thing we wanted to identify today is that On several, in several of these areas, we've also have been thinking about, you know, maybe a different approach. And so Sherry wanted to talk to you about some of the ideas that, that are floating in our world. And we kind of want, we're not going to give it to you in
writing.
We don't
have it written up
we
like this.
We don't have, either, you know, not hard and fast details of it, but we thought it would be important for us to at least identify them so that it's clear that we're not, if we bring them up in the future for discussion and consideration, it's not that we're doing it as a counter to what you put on the table, but just that you know these are ideas that we've come into the room with today.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I, the service and partnership award program is interesting. You know, thank you for, you know, taking a stab at that, because I know that it's been something that a lot of people have been interested in for a long time. You know, we'll have to see how it goes. But one of the things that we have noticed over the, we've been tracking these awards for a couple of years now, is, you know, the original idea of the TIPS and RIAs when the was that we would allow, we would have what we, these recycles, and they were supposed to eventually, you were supposed to get enough of those that they replaced the new awards, so you weren't having to do the new awards all the time. Well, it turns out that it's so variable, and you know, from year to year, you never know from college to college what you're going to get. And some years it's a huge windfall, and then some years it's just a, you know, barren.
And that causes problems.
It causes real problems. So we've been thinking about maybe doing away with the recycles and increasing the number of first-time awards. What we had originally sort of, the targets we were kind of looking at were, and this will, might be different depending on what we decide with your proposal on the RIAs, including the RIAs, but we were going to increase the new awards would be 45, 40, and 10.
So
and then
different.
Yeah. And then we would distribute, we would actually have 45 tips, and the RIAs would be distributed, you'd have 35 new ones that would be distributed by college, in the colleges, and then we'd have 5 at large. And the current process for reviewing of tips is kind of odd, because even the faculty committee does the recommendation, and you don't have anybody at the college level that has any say-so in it, on the administrative side. And they go up to the president and the provost, and the president and the provost don't really have a, I mean, they don't, they're not on the ground. They kind of have to go with what the, so we'd like to shift that back down to the college level and have the dean instead of the president or the provost be the final decider on that. And I mean, you know, these are
so explain that one again to me.
Okay, so everything would stay at the college level for the tips. It would never get up to the, you know, to Milliken, so to speak.
Okay.
The reason just the dean knows these people better.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to promotion and tenure, everybody all the way up the line, you know, looks at it, but tips, you know, what does the president know about tips?
Oh, so the actual, so the approval of tips would be at the college
level?
Yeah, okay.
instead of at the administrative level.
Do we have to give tip award winners the dean has a problem with? Is this a solution to that problem?
No. This is the,
familiarity.
Yeah, and this is the president and the provost, I think, wanting to get it off their plate and get it back down.
Efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they, you know, because it. You know,
yeah,
they
if they're rubber stamping it anyway, why not have the person one level below?
One
now
below.
Take care of it.
Yeah,
just be
it just doesn't make a lot of sense to have, and especially to have both of them having to approve it. You know, it really doesn't make
and
a lot of sense.
That's really consistent with, like, the excellence awards, that for undergraduate teaching, the college decides on who's going to be forwarded to the university, then the university decides on the university excellence in undergraduate teaching. But it's really decided at the college level who's going to be recognized at Founders Day. And then one person is, in the case of the Excellence Awards, gets a special recognition.
Although if you have the 5 at large, you need
that'd be RIAs.
Be
yeah.
RIAs.
And they're talking about having that evaluated by a faculty committee and then the vice pres, the vice president, or vice provost, whatever it is, the president for research.
Some people apply to the college and some people apply to the MBOSH because my.
We have.
Well, we have an at-large right now.
We used to have an at-large.
Yeah, we used to have it.
This year we didn't because the way the Rios fell, there was an exact number, so they didn't.
Yeah.
But in the past, we've had the at-large as well.
Yeah.
It's normal that you have at-large, so we have a system.
The resources will.
We have a system to, that already knows how to handle that, basically.
So those are just kind of some of the things that we've been floating and thinking about, so, you know, put that in with this and we'll, you know, big stew and we'll, you know.
Do we have access to numbers for recycles, how many have been recycled each year?
We will shortly. Charlie and I just have to powwow together, yeah.
I think this year was 107.
Yeah, but then some years it's way less than that, you know.
Yeah.
Depends on who retires or who stays on.
Yep.
And who, and the people who retire, you know, a lot of people, some people have six when they retire and some people have none.
We're happy if you move a college, then everyone's fighting over the scraps. Move from one college to the next, it causes problems.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, because there was. There was one item that we didn't talk about on the eligibility part, which Mason pointed out to me earlier, and we were supposed to remember, and then I forgot. The gray thing, that's right. So, Charlie, you just reminded me of that discussion. It's on the first page. We got departments with approved standards may participate in merit increase programs. And I was wondering, do we have any departments that don't have approved standards right now?
Do you mean the AESPs?
I don't think we do now. I mean, we wouldn't.
Every, well, this has to do, I guess, it's funny language, isn't it? But I think they're meaning that everyone has to have an evaluation, right? And it's sort of assuming that if you don't have approved standards, that there wouldn't be an evaluation. But of course, we wouldn't do that to the employees. That would be punitive to them, so.
I think what John is asking is, does each department actually have standards in place that have been approved?
I think this probably got put in here when we were in the process of developing the standards, and now that everybody has them.
There was a moment in time.
Yes.
When there was a question as to whether.
So the answer is yes, even Jim's new program, Integrated Business.
That's what I was worrying about. New programs might be the only ones, right?
Their AESP was approved yesterday, so we do.
So we should leave that language in?
I don't think it adds value, because what you really want is you want everyone to be evaluated.
Right.
So you were right to highlight it as like, hey, good for you for pulling that out, because you knew how you tend to gloss over stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, fine. So it probably could be worded differently.
Ideally, there's no departments without standards right now.
Right, exactly. So it's sort of superfluous, is what you're saying. Well, we'll definitely consider that.
Okay, all right. That was just a question.
See if there's any other possible meaning that we can look at it for that is, that it arose, but we'll go back to the purple book and see if it was in there, for instance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet that's where it came from.
It came from that.
From that time.
From that time.
Yes. Wish you mercifully missed.
Yeah, that was a.
Boy, that was a brutal period, wasn't it?
Were those tree rings? Or there's this wide band of light color?
No, that's good for the tree, that wide band of light.
Oh, I thought it was the dark years. Okay, so this.
The dark years are those dark bands tied together.
Yeah.
Winter that year.
Yeah.
Winter, no water or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It was volcano eruption somewhere in the Pacific that coated the earth in ash and.
Well,
I would say that, you know, if we're going to, I mean, half the rationale, well, not for this particular article, but for the other two articles, is to try to take them off the full book cycle and fix some problem areas. And then hopefully we can lay them to rest for quite some time. And I think that's a good idea to do the TIP RIAs SOTLs, the service.
We've been needing to do something with TIPs, RIAs, and SOTLs for a very long time.
Yeah, and.
Everybody's been wanting to do something with it.
And nobody's been wanting to put their feet up to the fire yet, so we might as well just swallow hard and do it.
Yeah.
It was a good idea to be able to put the other, the green book, that we've got to put it to rest faster. I know you didn't feel like it was fast, but that was very, very fast bargaining, but doing so really allows us to do that. It's a really good strategy, actually.
Yeah.
Glad you're willing to do that.
Yeah, that's.
Okay, well, we have our next meeting. We'll come back with 23 and start working on.
And discussions you're gonna work on 8 and 24?
No, I think we said we would just do 23 next time.
Let's try to do 23, and especially the sort of tip reassemble the service if the higher ups decide that that's a smart.
Do you have all the information you have phased to continue in your thought process on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
No, that was really useful, thank you, Charlie.
All right, so is that concluding our session?
I think it does.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Good.
Can you and I talk about this?
Of course.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.